You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. I guarantee you might feel a little bit hungry by the end of the interview we're about to do. It gives me great pleasure to welcome Judith Furtick to the Book Club at 91.7. She's an award-winning cookbook author, out with her first novel. But yes, food is involved, so that hunger will continue. Judith Furtick, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Oh, thank you, Mark. It's great to be here.
Last time we talked, if I remember correctly, we were talking about cinnamon rolls and
yes,
your cinnamon rolls cookbook.
Yeah,
and before that, it was a garden and the grill.
Some great things.
So why did you decide to go from your cookbooks to writing fiction?
Well, you know, as a cookbook author and a food writer for a long time, I think flavor tells a story. You know, the flavor of cinnamon rolls, you know, has such an evocative, you know, blast from the past. And, you know, all the flavors of the heartland, you know, from horseradish and you know, antique apples and cottage ham, you know, it all has a flavor, a story to tell. But I thought, well, what about telling like an actual story? I was an English major. I went to Wittenberg. And so it was something I've been working on for a long time. And then, you know, kind of decide to get really serious about it and finish it up. So it's been wonderful. It's been really fun.
Well, your new novel is called The Cake Therapist, and it's about Claire, she's called Neely in the book, who moves back to here in the Cincinnati area, the Mill Creek Valley, to open her own little bakery. And I learned through my research that I already knew, Judith. Yeah. You have a background here in Cincinnati, but you decided to base the novel here in Cincinnati based on your kind of inspired by your own experience.
Yeah.
Right?
So I grew up in Reading, and my dad had grown up in Laughlin, my mom in Arlington Heights. And my first job out of high school, I worked at the Wyoming pastry shop in Wyoming. My glamorous job was to get a bucket of hot water and scrub out the cinnamon roll frosting from the display cases. So, but it, you know, I moved away and, you know, after college and then I got to thinking, you know, this place, you know, is really interesting. Where else do you have a convent on the hill? And it was, you know, Mount Notre Dame, and it was actually where William Tecumseh Sherman sent his daughters to boarding school during the Civil War. So I thought there are all these interesting stories to tell. I-75 is where the old canal, Miami Erie Canal, used to be. And so I kind of reimagined this sort of timeline. So the Cake Therapist is told in flashbacks, and you see some of the early, kind of the earlier scenes when the canal was there and when Stearns and Foster was still there, although I don't call it that, and when, you know, little mom and pop grocery stores were there. But, you know, now Reading has transformed itself into a bridal district. And when my sister and I come back, we can't believe that you can buy Monique Lhuillier gown in Reading, kind of where like the Caravan restaurant used to be. So,
well, the Cake Therapist, Neely, has a very special talent, and that's associating taste. It's almost like synesthesia, where you have a sense.
Yes,
you do it like
yes,
tasting shapes.
Right.
Or, I have to say my wife has a bit of synesthesia that names provoke colors in her mind. So tell us about Neely's talents.
Well, Neely understands her world through flavor. That she can understand her own inner state if she tastes something and then it resonates with her and she realizes, you know, I'm starting over, or I need to leave the past behind, or I need to take charge, or whatever it is. And so in her bakery, she features, I took a note from Grater's on this, Grater's ice cream.
Really?
So I thought in her bakery, she's going to have signature flavors of the month. So they're flavors that everybody needs. Like in January, we all need to get started again and gear up for the new year. And so it's coffee and dark chocolate. And then in February, when it's, you know, gray and cold and, you know, you need that color, so it's blood orange and raspberry. So she gives, you know, people in the community what they need. She also tunes into herself to make sense, you know, through flavor. And then with her bridal, with her wedding cake clients, she'll sit with them and a flavor will come to her. And a flavor is linked to an emotion, and the emotion is the heart of every story. So she'll get a little glimpse of their story, and so she kind of knows what their deal is, and so she can craft a wedding cake with flavors that feed them, that nurture their soul.
And I have to say, descriptions of all the different wedding cakes more than once had my mouth watering. It's like, I need a cupcake or something.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Judith Fertig. Her new novel is called The Cake Therapist. It's her first work of fiction. She's a well-known cookbook author and has roots here in Cincinnati. You can learn more about The Cake Therapist and Judith's work by visiting our website, wvxu.org. And Neely comes home. You talked about coming home and seeing the changes, and it seems that Neely comes home and discovers, much like you and your sister have remarked, so there's some real-life resonance there.
There really is. And one of the themes in the book is, can you reinvent yourself and can you reinvent your life? And I think people can't. Some characters in the book can do that and some can't. Some areas can do that and some can't. I mean, all you have to do is kind of go from Reading that has, you know, done the mom and pop thing, which they always did, but with a special focus. And then you go across the bridge and go into Lockland. My dad's family had a butcher shop there for years and years and years, and that just went by the wayside. Mm. And so, you know, some things work and some things don't.
Well, I have to say, Neely's bakery is called the Rainbow Bakery for her famous rainbow cake. And there's a picture. And I noticed when I was looking on the web at your website, there's actually a recipe for this rainbow cake.
Yes, I was kind of a workaholic the past year. I did a cookbook at the same time. It's called Bake Happy. And so when I wanted to know, like, what flavor evokes a sunny summer day and what flavor is going to help the characters in The Cake Therapist unlock the past and when they were children and remember that, I went into the kitchen and I thought, I bet it's something strawberry. And I strawberry with a little rose water, a little sugar to make them taste like you just picked the berries. And I came up with the cake that is on the cover of Bake Happy. So it was really great. It was like, you know, you think, well, is this going to work? And then I was able to go in the kitchen and kind of fiddle around and come up with just the thing.
Well, you've written cookbooks, and I love your cookbooks too, because you share stories along with all the great recipes too.
Thank you.
That cinnamon roll. I'm only about halfway through all the recipes that are in there to try out. But I wondered, as Neely's associating these emotions and these flavors, let me see. Well, right here on the cover it says, cinnamon makes you remember, plum is pleased with itself, orange is a wake-up call, but what is the flavor of starting over? But I wondered how, did you come up with your own code, or, you know, is there any scientific link that says cinnamon can help you remember?
Well, there are some flavors have chemical properties that actually, you know, cinnamon does wake you up because it's a spice, but it also calms you down. There's an element in cinnamon that modulates your blood sugar. There are properties in fresh ginger that kind of make you feel refreshed. If you have an upset stomach, you have, you know, ginger ale, and there's a reason for that. And orange, of course, you know, if you smell freshly grated orange, you do wake up. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you do perk up. So, and some of this, I just went with kind of how I felt. I read a book a few years ago, The Language of Flowers, and it's kind of like, you know, there's a language of flower and there's a language of flavor. And I think it's individual for everyone, but I think, you know, we can all agree on some that are, like chocolate is the strong shoulder to lean on. I think, you know, everybody would agree with that. So caramel is luxury. You know, you taste caramel and you think, oh, you know.
must be why my wife likes it.
Yeah.
Well, you also, you mentioned flashing back, and you do flashback, and you don't call it Wyoming. You call it Mill Creek Valley that Neely comes back to. So there's some sense of reality there, but, you know, it's mostly fiction. How did you balance that reality and that fiction?
Well, I wanted it, you know, it's a Midwestern locale, but I didn't want it to be so place specific that if you were in Milwaukee and you read this, you'd think, well, you know, it couldn't possibly be around here. But I think it's Midwestern enough that anybody who lives in the Midwest would recognize the quirkiness, you know, the mm-hmm. hardworking Midwestern, you know, we don't feel sorry for ourselves. We just get on with it. you know, the quirkiness of the dress-up geese.
I was going to talk about that, too. We'll talk about the geese in a minute.
Well, I was so sad to learn that Glass Barn is no more, because I was going to try and get, I bought a concrete goose when I was home several years ago, and I have outfits for it and everything, because in Kansas City, you just don't have that.
Yes.
You know, so I thought, what's the place marker that is fun and it's unusual? And then I had a little story about it to myself. I thought, you know, this area was settled by Germans, and Germans kept geese back in the old country, and maybe Mill Creek Valley was called Gansdorf a long time ago, and there were real geese then, and now we kind of hang on to like the ghost of the geese and with porch art.
And yeah, I love how you point out with the geese, because I found that quite amusing when I ran across it the first time, but you describe how people have different approaches to the geese.
Yeah,
some that
yeah.
are tried and true and traditional, and others. There's one character who dresses up her geese as musical heroes.
Yeah, Neely's old piano teacher. You know, has Mozart and Bon Jovi and.
That was a lot of fun. But you also do flashback. Why did you? Well, I was reading an interview you had done that was talking about slipping back and forth in time, and you said, made a comment about, you thought you were writing a mystery to begin with.
I did. I thought I was writing a mystery. And so this is part of the journey from being a cookbook author to being a novelist. And I had a lot to learn.
Yes.
So, you know, you think as a reader and as an English, former English major, that, you know, you're in pretty good shape. But it's very humbling experience. So I actually, there was a Pitch-a-Palooza contest in Kansas City, which you had to pitch this book you wanted to write in 2 minutes. So I did that, and I won the Pitch-a-Palooza. And as part of that, you had a consultation with the book doctors, Ariel Ekstedt and her husband, David Sperry, and out of New York. And so I told what my book was, and I said, it's a mystery. And she says, does anyone die in the first chapter or two? I said, well, no. I said, people are dead, but nobody dies. She says, well, then you don't have a mystery. So she says, you have women's fiction, and that's a lot better. So I thought, all right. So, but you know what? We all do flashbacks in our thoughts all the time. I mean, you're at the grocery store and you're picking up a cottage ham and you have a flashback to, you know, when you were a kid or you know, you're driving around and you think, oh, I remember that building. I'm having all kinds of flashbacks today, you know, being back in Cincinnati. So it's just, I think it's a natural, you know, we understand that. But these flashbacks, you know, are puzzling to Neely, and they're also puzzling to the reader. You think, where's this going? And that's on purpose. And I can assure everybody it does all come together at the end. So,
yes, it does. It comes just like a well-baked cake.
Yeah,
is what it does. I love, Judith, how you in The Cake Therapist and in your real life cookbooks draw together how cooking and life are so enmeshed.
Yeah.
And you say that's what you love doing is cooking and gathering friends around the table.
Yeah.
And where did that love come from?
I came from a family of really good cooks. My great grandmother came from Germany, and she had a boarding house for a while after her husband died. My grandmother was a really good cook, and she would gather us all on Sunday for Sunday dinners. And after a while, we would think, oh, do we have to do this again? And I look back on that, and it's like Blue Bloods. You know, everybody likes the Sunday dinner scene in Blue Bloods, and that's how I grew up. And so I still love to do that. And although these days, I've given the Martha Stewart years a miss, where you did everything yourself, and you macrameed a sweet pea trellis, and you did all this stuff. And now I have... You know, my kids are grown, and I have them bring a dish, which is great, and it's really fun, and so our dinners have sort of morphed into more like a potluck, which is fun.
Well, I love the story in The Cake Therapist, and I wondered, you know, if you were going to continue with your fiction, and then I noticed that there at the back is a little bit of a preview of your next book.
What right.
did you? When did you decide that this was going to be more than just this one novel?
Well, I hoped that from the very beginning, because in Neely's Bakery, you know, it's every book is like 3 to 4 months. So hopefully she goes through the year, and then there's, you know, hopefully a special holiday one. So we know there are at least going to be 2 books. The second one is The Memory of Lemon, but it depends on readers as to whether there are going to be 3 or 4 or 5. So I hope there are. I love these characters, and I love, you know, the area. I think it has so much to tell. It's sort of like an underserved literary area. So the next book actually has John James Audubon in it, because he was in Cincinnati for a while, and a very, very brief while, and it has Augusta, Kentucky. So that's been really fun to go back there.
Well, I know your cookbooks and your cookbooks with Karen Adler are always well received. What have fans thought, Judith, about your transition to fiction? And what's been the reaction?
Yeah, it's actually been great. Because I wrote cookbooks that told stories as part of it, it's been an easier transition. If I had written a novel about molecular gastronomy, you know, maybe. Maybe that wouldn't have been so well received, but
baking is.
But baking is, it's all good. So,
well, thank you for your time today, and thanks for the great stories.
Oh, thank you, Mark.
I've been speaking with Judith Fertig. Her first novel, her new novel, is called The Cake Therapist. She's an award-winning cookbook author. You can learn more about her work and the new novel, The Cake Therapist, at our website, wvxu.org. And you'll also find a link to her website. This is The Book Club at 91.7.